From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds. President Obama says he'll bring half of the U.S. combat troops home from Afghanistan within 1 year.
Tonight, I can announce that over the next year, another 34,000 American troops will come home from Afghanistan. This drawdown will continue, and by the end of next year, our war in Afghanistan will be over.
What is it like to come home from war? What was it like for you? Give me a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Maybe you have returned from war more than once. Many of you have been redeployed. Tell us what that was like. 800-289-5869. How were you received when you came home? Did people want to know about your war experiences? Did you want to tell them about it? You can write to us, conversation@kuow.org. And how well did the military prepare you to resuming your life in civilian society? It's 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Peter Sessom is a U.S. Army veteran who served in the Reserves and National Guard going back to 1994. He also documents the veteran perspective on his website. It's called the Dog Tag Chronicles. Peter, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
So the idea for your website is inspired by misconceptions that people have about the military experience. Do people have a lot of misconceptions about military people returning from war?
Actually, you know, they do. And I think that a lot of people don't know how to handle it. When you compare versus World War II, where 40% of the people, you know, 40% of the population was, you know, or the males were involved in the war effort, and everyone knew someone that was in the military, and now you have less than 1% actually involved in the military. That a lot of people don't even know anyone that's in the military.
So one of the places you served most recently was Afghanistan, and when you came home, did you encounter a lot of people who really didn't have any idea what was going on with the war that you had just served in?
Yes, actually, I encountered that a lot, even within my own family, where people, they only knew snippets from the news, and so people would tell you what was going on over there, what your experience was like, and they really had no idea. I actually went to buy a new car in the area, and the person had found out that I'd recently returned from Afghanistan, and his first question was, how many people did you kill?
Hmm.
Which is, like, the worst thing you can ask someone that's been deployed. I mean, that's... You're not supposed to talk about that.
Now, you've compared the return of World War II veterans. They trained together. They came back together. There was a lot of decompression between the war and civilian life. But you were telling us it's a lot different for reservists?
Yes, it is. I've actually deployed. I was active duty back in 1994 to 2000. I've deployed both as active duty and as reserve. And it's a lot different for the reserves. When World War II, when they were returning, they had been together for 3 years, you know, 3 or 4 years or the entire war. And when they came back, they were coming back on ships, and they had a month to decompress. Well, I mean, probably other people talk to you about the active duty, which is kind of the same thing, where you come back and then you're with these people and you still live with them and you still work with them every day. The reserves is different. As when you do the demobilization process, they give you a plane ticket home, and then as soon as you land, it's like you're on your own, and it's you're not required to show up to the unit again for 90 days. So people are suddenly left alone. And if you have a unit that's in the Seattle area, let's say, but people come from Eastern Washington, when they go back home, there's nobody around. The unit isn't around them. They don't live with, you know, within driving distance of the people they served with that understood. I was lucky enough to really be really good friends with some of the people that I deployed with, and they lived nearby. So we continued to hang out with each other on a regular basis just to do that decompression and just kind of get all that out with someone who understands.
I'm talking with Army veteran Peter Sessom. We're talking about what happens when the warriors return home. President Obama announcing he'll bring half the U.S. combat troops home from Afghanistan within a year. We're at 206-543-5869. Perhaps you've returned from Afghanistan or an earlier war or conflict, Iraq. It's 206-543-KUOW. Now, you came back and you went to the University of Washington. How were you received there? Did you, when you told people that you were coming back from fighting?
Most of it was actually negative. A lot of veterans don't claim they don't broadcast it. you know. And so they kind of try to go underground. I mean, which is really sad because they could find support amongst themselves. Veterans clubs are in most local colleges, even at the community college level. And, you know, at University of Washington, last I heard, there's over 700 veterans collecting, like, the GI Bill benefits, and you can't get 20 of them to show up in a meeting just because they just kind of want to stay underground. I actually had some hostility in some classes. One person declared to the class that soldiers are trained to target children, and that if they don't do it, then, you know, they have to obey because people think you're some kind of, like, mindless robot. And I had to explain to the class the law of land warfare and how you are expected to disobey and question an unlawful order. I mean, that's what they teach us. And if you go along with something, you're just as guilty. And it's a war crime.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, saying I was just following my orders didn't work for the Nazis is definitely not going to work for U.S. soldiers coming home.
Hey, Peter, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Peter Sessom, U.S. Army veteran. If you just tuned in, we're talking about the announcement from the president, 30,000 combat troops coming home from Afghanistan. What is that experience like coming home from war? We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. What kind of reorientation did you get to ease you back into civilian life? Did it help? It's 800-289-5869. You can also write to us, conversation@kuow.org. We've talked to Democratic State Representative Larry Sequest, who heads the House Higher Education Committee, about education issues. But Larry's also a former U.S. warship captain and a Pentagon strategist who served for 32 years in the U.S. Navy. Larry, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Russ.
So Navy deployments can be very long, and they're getting longer. Can you remember coming home from a deployment? What was that like?
Oh, yeah. And the difference Peter was describing, it's a real problem. When you're a reserve or a guards person, you come back, scatter out into that civilian community. It's not like living aboard a base or a post where you're still with your unit is still together, including their families. The advantage with us sailors, of course, is that we all get in a ship together and leave together and come home together. So it, in that sense, it's a little easier on the families. I think what's important, Ross, to note, however, that Navy deployments, as we pull our soldiers out of Iraq and Afghanistan and shift our focus around the world in our foreign policy, the Navy is back on the front lines patrolling all over the world. And our Navy sailors and their families now are going through deployments that are much longer than 6 months. They're getting longer and longer. In my time, we considered that kind of the limit. We didn't want to keep a person away from their family more than about 6 months to help that reintegration process.
And, of course, the longer you're away from it, the stranger it might be when you come back to it. Larry, in your 32 years in the Navy, what kind of a job do you think that the military does in preparing people for coming back to civilian life?
Well, in the Navy, Ross, we really worked at this because, you know, this was organic. What sailors do is get on ships and deploy in those days for 6 months, and that's what we do. So the Navy was organized around taking care of the families on these six-month cycles, 6 months gone, 18 months back, something like that. Now that's getting really stretched. But you would find in the ships and at home ombudsman networks. We try to make sure that all of the spouses are networked together, try to make sure that they are able to connect with each other, make sure there's lots of information. And the other thing we did, Ross, is make sure that we actually spent a lot of time with the sailors debriefing them near the end of the deployment to make sure that as they were themselves getting ready to get back home, to help both the spouse and the sailor, think about being back at home and that real change of life.
Larry Sequest, we appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Democratic State Representative Larry Sequest, a 32-year veteran of the U.S. Navy. Let's go to Anthony, who's listening to us this afternoon. The question I'm asking is, what is it like to return from war, to return from the military? Anthony, where did you serve?
Yeah, I served in the Army Reserve for 25 years and what happened, deployed to Korea and Persian Gulf.
So you've got a couple of different experiences in different wars. Maybe you could compare them. What was it like returning from Korea? What was it like returning from the Gulf Wars? Was it similar, different?
Korea was actually non-wartime. I did serve there, but it wasn't under hostile fire. But, you know, I can tell you that, you know, being a career reservist, there's very few people that have done 20-plus years in the military in general that have been able to keep their marriage intact. And it's, you know, missing the birthdays and the anniversaries and the other significant events of your family's life is something that you never get back. And I really agree with your speaker that the military has become an abstraction to most American families, you know, and I feel it's in a democracy when you have, you know, 1% shouldering the burden for national defense. I don't think it's very representative, and I don't think it's healthy for the democracy or the military culture itself.
Yeah, and we did a whole show on this, which is at KUOW.org, that issue. Did serving in the reserves for so long, Anthony, take a toll on your relationships?
Me and my wife are still married, but we were older when we got married. I know it has done damage to the relationship with me and my wife and the relationship with me and my kids. I'm not the same person that I was before I left. And what else is unique, and I think your speaker pointed it out, is the burden that the National Guard and the Reserves are shouldering, you know, for the last 10 years is really unique in our nation's history. And my wife has a brother who's a retired active duty Air Force major, and my own younger brother is a colonel in the active duty Army. And I've spent more time away from home than they have.
Anthony,
a supposed weekend warrior.
Sure, and that's those extended time serving. Really, it takes a toll. You know, if you might be talking right now to the families of some of those 30,000 combat troops who are going to be coming home over the next year, and maybe it'll be the first time they come home. What's your advice to them? What would you say to them to keep in mind when they welcome home the soldiers returning?
Well, you know, our the homecoming was anticlimactic, to say the least. And as a reservist, you don't have that support structure being on a military base. I mean, I go down every other month just to kind of hang out around Fort Lewis, just to be in that environment, even if I don't have a specific purpose. And my main thing that I would say is, you know, avoid isolation at all costs. You know, find people to talk to. You know, reach out to the VA. You know, the amount of domestic violence and suicide, you know, and other behavioral problems that veterans are experiencing now really is very profound. And yeah. The main thing, I think, is to stay connected with people that understand the experience you've been through.
Hey, Anthony, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thank you.
We're talking today about people returning from war. Tommy Carson served in Desert Storm and Operation Iraqi Freedom, and he now works for the State Department of Veteran Affairs. Tommy, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you, Ross.
I see here that you were living on the streets as a homeless person before you joined the Army. Is that right?
Yes, sir. The luckiest day of my life was when I went to see that recruiter in Ohio. It was mid-November. It was cold and wet. I got up the next morning. I went to see my recruiter. I said, I don't care what I do. How soon can I leave? He says, stand right here, and you'll be the first thing out of here in the morning. The luckiest day of my life.
So you were ready. Well, let's look at the other end of your experience. What was it like for you to return from those operations?
You know, the first time I was married, had two children, I deployed on Christmas Day. That was sad. That was the worst part of all, leaving on Christmas Day when you got two beautiful young boys at home. The beautiful thing was when I came back, we decided to, because so many times, Ross, people deployed during anniversaries, during holidays, during graduations. You can combine those things and have one heck of a celebration when you come back. Even though you're missing the actual physical date, you know, have the party of your life when you come back with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, and celebrate those holidays. You don't have to miss a holiday or an anniversary. You can really make it up when you get back. And Ross, I've heard the other people speak, and I want to say something, if you don't mind.
Sure.
The thing about today's society is we're so much better. The American spirit is resilient. We get better. If we mess up the first time, we won't do it again. We get better. We're so blessed to live here in the South Sound. I can tell you that the businesses, nonprofits, organizations here in the Joint Base Tourism Ford area and all over the Northwest, Spokane especially,
yeah,
love serving veterans. So when they come back, you got organizations like PMBA, AFA, ASA that's doing some fantastic barbecues and parties and welcoming home these soldiers and airmen when they come back. It's actually the greatest experience in the world because community is pulling together,
yeah,
to improve the quality of life of these people. And I'm talking about right away. As soon as they get
right
back, they're having the time of their life. And this goes a long way in reducing that isolation, suicide thoughts, divorce. And it goes a long way in improving readiness and retention. So our community is a vital part of our national security.
Well, we're going to end this on a high note then with that endorsement of the way that people are welcoming here for the returning warriors. Tommy Carson, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate
it. Thank you, sir.
This is KUOW 94.9 Seattle.